You're listening to Popstar Conversations, taking you inside with your favorite musical artists.
This week, Randy and I will be sitting here with the iconic Debbie Harry.
Debbie, welcome to the show.
Debbie, it's so good to have you here.
I gotta say, you know your song, Maria. You still hear it anywhere you go around this world. You have become so closely identified with that song. It's almost like your own personal anthem. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, very good. Very lucky, you know. Blondie has, been accepted by radio, you know. And the people, of course. But Maria, you know, I think there's... A lot of girls named Maria.
Let's talk for a minute about Panic of Girls. Why has it taken so long for you to follow up with it?
I think there's several reasons. One of them is that Chris started a family, and he wanted to be a very, you know, hands-on parent. You know, for the first couple of years, he wanted to watch his children and watch them grow and get to know them. So all of that activity, you know, sort of kept him away from composing. And also for Blondie, we were touring a lot and trying to, just to reestablish the band. I don't know. It just worked out that way. I think one of the other things that changed was the nature of the recording industry. And I think that's had a big effect on many bands. We're just back doing it. So we've got this collection out now, Panic of Girls. We're also working it now on other new material. So we hope to have, you know, more continual music available. You know, we're going to try to put more out now because we sort of have now a new system. Don't ask me. But, you know, it's part of the world of today and the internet. And, you know, we're used to functioning in a much different way with our product. So, you know, we've had to change our business, basically, which is sometimes very complicated.
So you're starting a new record company, and this is going to be your debut album.
Yes, basically, yeah.
Starting this new label, it has to be challenging.
Very, very challenging and disheartening. Makes you feel like, oh, but now it's, you know, well, older and wiser.
But you all definitely do have a lot of experience to bring to the table. Debbie, what is the situation with Jimmy? Is he still involved with the band or the writing process?
No, he's not. Unfortunately, it didn't work out. I can't really go into all of the details. I think that we feel very good that we've got, you know, the basic three members and that we've carried on. I mean, Clem was the first person that we worked with in the 1970s. And, you know, the three primary basic members, you know, have stayed together. I think that's fundamental.
Debbie, how did you like recording Panic of Girls out in the country at Woodstock?
Yeah, Kay Pearson from the B-52s, she keeps a hotel out there. Debbie, did you stay there?
No, I didn't. I stayed at Chris's house some of the time, and then I went back to New York. Because you know, you work in shifts, you know, doing different things, different times. So I would stay up there for 3 or 4 days and do work, and then I would go back home and do it that way. You know, in recording, you work in stages. You know, you do basic tracks for a couple of weeks, and then you do overdubs and vocals, and so it's in different stages, and you don't have to be there all the time. One of the reasons that we worked up in Woodstock, because, again, you know, because we found a great studio up there, wonderful room, great sound. I think it has something to do with getting, you know, focused, you know, getting a little bit isolation and focus. It was also very economical for us. Woodstock has a great musical history. So, you know, a good combination of elements.
On this record, Panic of Girls, what made you pick Jeff Saltzman as your producer?
That was more of Chris. I think he and Chris became, through the internet, you know, they became associated and started communicating and talking about their ideas, and I think that sort of evolved like that.
Debbie, what were you trying to achieve with this record?
I think that we were just excited to be back in the studio and make a Blondie album. And so, you know, we included many of our traditions, our long-standing traditions of, you know, a variety of influences in the music, but yet maintaining a Blondie sound. Not so experimental. Perhaps I think in the next one will be a little bit more, maybe a little bit more techno-oriented, go into more technology. But I think because of, you know, waiting so long to do an album, that we wanted to really follow our tradition. And so that's what we did.
You know, curious, what made you pick Girly Girly as a cover for this record?
I think it's a great song, you know. Great song, and has a double meaning for us. I think we interpreted it as, you know, for young men, you're too girly girly, you know, as a, you know, transsexual, or it applies to a big audience in a lot of good ways, you know, fun ways, and also for a man who's has too many girlfriends. I think that was the original meaning. So, you know, we sort of embraced it in a funny way. You know, we tried to have a double meaning with it. And I think that, you know, in our position, you know, in the United States, the homosexual population, you know, has made, you know, a strong stand about their identity and their value and their legal identity in the United States and their acceptance. And I think they've made some tremendous strides and statements. And, you know, I think that in a way that's part of a tribute to them. And I think that we've always held those opinions. I think that Blondie actually performed at the first Gay Pride in the 70s. I think it might have been 1977 or 76. And we were one of the first bands to perform at that. And I think that's, you know, part of our appreciation, you know, that we do appreciate that.
Debbie, let's go down memory lane a little bit. Let's talk about New York back in the mid-70s when you were starting out. New York, it had to be one of the most innovative places in the world, and it had to be such a great place to be at.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
The city's definitely changed a lot.
The world has changed, and the world changes so quickly now with the internet. I don't think that younger audiences appreciate, you know, that communications today are instantaneous, and that, you know, things moved at a much slower pace, and you know, you really had to work very hard to express and to give things to the public. And nowadays, it's like you get, you know, hours in matter of minutes, seconds. You know, you get some great information, and I think it's great. You know, I love that. I love that, but I also love personal, you know, physical attraction and the chemical response of human being to human being. And that's why these festivals are very good, very exciting, and, you know, bring us back to the idea that we're, in a sense, a tribal kind of creatures, you know, that we like a sense of community and a sense of the physical world. And it's interesting because I think in the eyes of, you know, sort of the great religions, that, you know, we share a universal mind, and in a sense, the internet has become the physical reality of the international or universal mind. And it's fascinating, you know, that it's come through us through a technical way, but yet may eventually evolve into a real understanding of human nature. It's fascinating.
Were you guys back in the 70s regulars at CBGB's or Mother's and some of the other great clubs that were around?
No. Mother was about a club called Mother. But and originally it was called Jackie 60, and it came about in the 90s. It was originated by Chichi Valenti and Johnny Dinell. Johnny had a band back in the 70s called the Dinells. He's worked for many years as a DJ. And so they started this club, and it was a lot of fun. It was a theme night club once a week, and they would pick a theme, and everyone would sort of dress up. There would be entertainment, some kind of act, dancing, conversation, some naughty bits, So it was a lot of fun. It was great fun.
In the Bowery now, they have so many luxury hotels.
There's great art museums. There's shops, the Whole Foods store. I mean, no more bums. No more bums on the street. God, they were so entertaining, all those drunks and bums. You know, they all had their identities, and they were, you know. And it was, in a way, it's a tradition that you don't really see that much anymore. And that was the sort of tradition that started in the 1920s in the Depression in the United States, was that there was tramps and hobos that traveled from season to season. And they would be on the trains, you know, and they would go, in the wintertime, they would go to Florida, and in the summer they would come back up north, and that was a sort of interesting old tradition. I think that's died out now.
Yeah, things change.
This album cover by Chris Behrens, the Dutch painter, it's very intriguing. Can you tell us about it a little?
I guess in a way it's like Hieronymus Bosch. But I also think that it's about, you know, his fantasy world. And the way that we have interpreted it since we started touring last June, we had the artwork then. And so we called the tour the Endangered Species Tour, because we're all sort of mutated as creatures and fantastic. And included, I think that what I really wanted to say was, is that we all are endangered species, and in truth, we really are. So it's sort of trying to be like a wake-up call.
Let's hope they hear the call. Debbie, before we go, I've got to ask you. I saw a photo of you back in the day when you were a Playboy bunny.
Yeah, tell us a bit about the Playboy Club. Was it a private membership club? I mean, or what was it?
Actually, it was very middle class, very bourgeois. A membership was not terrifically expensive. At the club itself, you could go there and have a nice evening and have some entertainment very reasonably. And there were different levels of, the club. Some of the floors, as you went upstairs, were had a more expensive because of the different kinds of entertainment. I think it was very mindful of all different levels of income, actually.
Debbie, thank you very much. It's been a real pleasure.
Okay.
Debbie, it's been a true pleasure. Thank you again for listening to Popstar Conversations. Be sure to click the subscribe button below and hit the red bell so that you'll be notified of our next exclusive interview. Thank you again for listening.
Thank you for listening to Popstar Conversations. Please join us again for another conversation with your favorite musical artist.